put a snake on my back. I keep a red button on my side.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Friday, February 21st, 2019 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It's a wild and dystopic ride. Be sure. Things have happened. you read through the Reese Committee hearings and the staff reports, staff report number one, I think, is only about 48 pages, something anybody could read through. And it tells the whole story. It's as relevant today, all the Reese Committee testimony and the staff reports, one, two, I think number two is the one that I'm thinking of. But it's just interesting, you know. Is there any, the individual is supposed to go away, the age of the individual is coming to an end, the early 20th century era progressives and before were writing, which was born out of the Fabian circles, the Fabian Society, Fabian Socialists, born out of the Rhodes-Milner roundtable groups, and so on. It's all there. The effort to control people, and it's just interesting. Control and regulate things, every mode of life. Control people, essentially. And what does that mean? The and so fast forward to now, and you see that it seems that this plan has been, that was hatched more than 100 years ago, has been carried out. It's absolutely astonishing. So as an example, if I can find that. Here's an excerpt from staff report number two. The Reese Committee hearings. Report number two, relations between foundations and educations. This is the one, 42 pages. I think this is the one I was thinking of. So, let's see. It's largely Thomas McNeice just citing reference material. So, from Professor Walfel was a member of the supervising committee responsible for the creation of this work. It reads Thomas McNeice's speaking. He says, under the caption, Culture Affecting Education, well, actually, let me back up. One of the departments of NEA is the Association for Supervision and Curriculum Development. This association recently issued its yearbook for 1953 under the title, Forces Affecting American Education. Professor Walfel was a member of the supervising committee responsible for the creation of this work. Under the caption, Culture Affecting Education. And again, this gets to the issue of cultural change, which the, you know, whether it's the cultural Marxists who say, you know, economic Marxism wasn't as effective here in America as it was other places. Let's shift and refocus our efforts, particularly through academia, which was just a continuation of what the Reese Committee exposed. It's nothing new. Or, you know, so whether it's the Bernaysian contingent that's talking about social, cultural change, as I mentioned from Vance Packard's The Hidden Persuaders, or, you know, the cultural Marxists, or, you know, progressives, technocrats, whatever, everybody's interested in this cultural change, and the progressive contingent wanted to basically distill every aspect of American culture down into one homogenous group. In other words, there would be really no culture. because it would all be boiled down into one. So, and again, the continuation of these ideas are things like Samuel P. Huntington's The Clash of Civilizations. We got to reinvigorate this conflict. We got to pit everyone against everyone so that we can hammer, you know, you keep plunge it into the fire like the Fabian window suggests, the whole world heated up, collide it together, you know, hammer it together, fold it over, hammer it together, make one giant indestructible sword out of the whole thing. So, Thomas McNeice is speaking. Under the caption, "Culture Affecting Education," the following statements appear, and this is in 1953. He says, page 27, "Teachers in our schools have an immediate responsibility to their students and to the community at large to rethink their programs in terms of the necessity of social adaptation to changing technology." Again, page 27, "We began our government with the rule of law, the Constitution. The federal judicial system has become its special guardian." That's one way to put it. "Over the years, there has been a gradual modification of the principle of property rights and of public welfare, an illustration of fundamental transition which is affecting our lives, is the modification of the old concept of the common law. The common law in America, which is merely English law built up through decisions of the courts, has been individualistic. It has stressed protection of property and freedom of contract. Where the welfare of society has been concerned, the common law has been assumed to be sufficient to affect this through the individual. The rationale has been liberty rather than either equality or fraternity," which is an esoteric illusion, I would say. "This trend toward a balance between the welfare and the individual and the welfare of society is in conflict with earlier assumptions. It is a trend which we cannot ignore. It presents fundamental problems for education in modern society." He continues, pages 36 to 37, he cites, "There are tensions and overt conflicts in our present society over the functions and methods of education. Men who are established at the pinnacle of success in the typical American conception can and sometimes do find themselves more interested in shaping society according to their own wishes," shaping society according to their own wishes, "through the public schools, than in conforming to society's newer demands for free intelligence. The very power of their positions makes them formidable foes of any conception of education for all the people that is in conflict with their special convictions. Through the strength of our success patterns, it is quite possible for men whose lives are wholly unrelated to the process of education to come to power and to assume the role of determining what should be taught and how it should be taught. The professional educator whose business it is to know both the process and the method is not always a match for such opposition. But we should not forget that many other men who are also at the pinnacle of success are the firmest defenders of the public schools and the method of intelligence. In recent years, the public schools have received excellent support from just such persons. Throughout the years, such men have established foundations for the advancement of education and culture." So, well, let me just one more citation in this vein. So Thomas McNeice then says, "Directly or indirectly, the NEA is identified with an interesting situation involving an article recently published by Look magazine. In this issue of this magazine of March 9, 1954, an article by Robert M. Hutchins was published under the title, 'Are Our Teachers Afraid to Teach?' The opening statements in this article are as follows. 'Education is impossible in many parts of the United States today because free inquiry and free discussion are impossible. In these communities, the teacher of economics, history, or political science cannot teach. Even the teacher of literature must be careful. Didn't a member of Indiana's textbook commission call Robin Hood subversive? The National Education Association studied no less than 522 school systems covering every section of the United States and came to the conclusion that American teachers today are reluctant to consider controversial issues, quote-unquote. My, how far we've come. And then he says, this article and the statement quoted above were of interest to us. A letter was therefore written to the NEA asking for information about the report on the 522 school systems. The letter in reply to our request is quoted herewith, together with our letter which preceded it. So March 19, 1954, Mr. Frank Hubbard, Director of Research, National Education Association. Dear Mr. Hubbard, in an article in Look magazine in March 9, 1954, Mr. Robert M. Hutchins refers to a survey made by your association. He reports that this survey came to the conclusion that teachers of economics, history, and political sciences in 522 school systems covering every section of the United States are reluctant to consider controversial issues in their teaching. This statement suggests the possibility of a serious handicap to education. We want to evaluate your report so that we may learn the nature of the fears to which Mr. Hutchins refers in this article. Your report will offer us a welcome contribution to our understanding of the nature of the services rendered by your tax-exempt organization to education. With thanks for your attention, very truly yours, Norman Dodd. And the reply, which came 5 days later, reads, Dear Mr. Dodd, in reply to your letter of March 19, I am sending you a copy of the report prepared by the NEA Research Division in June 1953 for the NEA Committee on Tenure and Academic Freedom. This report has never been printed or issued in any form other than the enclosed typewritten form. So far as I know, Mr. Hutchins did not have a copy of this typed memorandum, although he may have borrowed one from someone who received a copy. A few typewritten copies have been sent to members of the Committee on Tenure and Academic Freedom and to a few other individuals who have written asking for copies. It is possible that Mr. Hutchins drew his information from the newspaper stories which were issued from Miami Beach during the summer of 1953 as a result of a press conference on this report. At any rate, I am not sure that Mr. Hutchins' conclusions would be exactly those of the NEA Research Division or of the NEA Committee on Tenure and Academic Freedom. Cordially yours, Frank W. Hubbard. Isn't that disingenuous? So this is not a new issue, this subversive element that we've been dealing with in America and in education, and particularly. But the point is, this effort to control people through a variety of means, obviously by capturing education specifically, and training people, indoctrinating people, socially engineering people into a certain frame of mind and mode of life, was, that to me represents the ultimate revolution against the Americans. And so where are we now? We'll talk about that when we come back. Stick around, more right after this break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye. Please remember, I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Musical interlude. Welcome back. I think one of the strongest evidences that something is terribly wrong is that when you show this to this information to people or even read it for yourself, it just, gosh, well, what's the problem? This is how far we've come. So the same issue that was an issue 80 years ago is still an issue today. Let me skip back to the earlier pages, prefatory statement of Mr. McNeese from the jungle of semantics various people may derive different interpretations from the statement. In the simplest terms possible, we wish to say that in this report, regardless of other interpretations, we intend to draw no conclusions, but rather to portray such available facts as we have been able to gather on this complex subject. This report covers but one phase of the larger work that is being done. Furthermore, we are not criticizing change as such. Rather, does the evidence which will be offered seem to show that the pattern is one of evolving collectivism. The ultimate aim of several varieties of political thought with different names and common objective. To explain our reference to a common objective, we wish to quote from the sources indicated a number of statements on this subject. And I'll get to that in a second. But to the issue of communitarianism, it has a name. It didn't necessarily have a name. You know, it's that kind of thing that Stuart Chase said, we'll call it X. But even in the Reese Committee hearings, you know, they talked about and cited works that progressive era architects essentially were saying, here's what we're going to do. We're going to change things, and we're going to test and measure, rinse and repeat, continue to refine. And the marked difference that the Reese Committee pointed out was that we if we are acquainted with the constitutional republican form of government in its orthodoxy, one of the foundational tenets is this concept of enumerated powers. The powers of government are specifically prescribed, you know, powers granted to government by these documents. And it's interesting when you listen to these people. I'm telling you, Peter Thiel is a fascinating character. We'll probably come to him in a little bit. He is the guy who punches every, you know, he's the guy who checks every box. He is an attorney. You know, he's Sullivan and Cromwell. He's Wall Street. He's banking and finance. He's the intelligence community. He's a technocrat extraordinaire, obviously. He's Bilderberg Steering Committee Group. He's presidential advisor. He believes that the kind of social change the progressive era architects were trying to institute was a great thing. America is, as he says, you know, dominated by these very unelected technocratic agencies, but he says they're very inefficient. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? He's one of the folks, and as far as technological innovation goes, I mean, he's, you know, Palantir, he's Kurzweil's Singularity Institute. He's all of that stuff. Talk about a populist man of the people. Which people? And so I'm saying this effort has, it's the same effort that the Reese Committee talked about, that they pointed to in the Lusk Committee in the 20s and more. So we'll talk more about that when we come back. Stick around.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Welcome back. Bottom of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Friday, February 21st, 2020. And I don't know, maybe we've gotten to the place where people just don't care. And it just doesn't seem like a big deal. Maybe it's been normalized to the extent that guys had hoped, and you know, there's just nothing. Don't worry, comrades. It's okay. You have a little bit of room in your mind prison, so I don't think that's a good thing. So, I intend to get to a little excerpt from Peter Thiel's talk. Man, it's so interesting. So data is the new oil, right? Peter Thiel has been compared to John D. Rockefeller, which is an interesting comparison, and I assure you he understands the implications. So, back in 2018, Peter Thiel was a guest at Brain Bar, and Brain Bar. Hungary, you don't like George Soros and the Open Society Network. Well, you know what? How about Brain Bar? And, you know, these other subversive revolutionaries. Well, just, you know, that's the thing with these kinds of efforts. It's expensive because you have to keep that reticulating set of proxy organizations going because, you know, people say, well, we don't like you. Okay, well, let me create a front group that advances my ideas anyway, my subversive revolutionary ideas. Well, you know, we've traced this group back to you and we don't like you and we don't like this group. Okay, well, let me create another subversive group, you know, out of that group that just, you know, and you keep going and pretty soon, you know, after a few degrees of separation, people are exhausted and, you know, people want to dismiss generally those kinds of efforts. Oh, well, you know, we can't say it's directly from this guy. And I mean, maybe he's not such a bad guy after all. He's a philanthropist. Sure. So that interview with Steve Fuller, sociologist Steve Fuller. And transhumanist, technocrat. In 2010, Fuller became a senior fellow at the Center for the Study of Interdisciplinarity at the University of North Texas. In 2011, University of Warwick appointed him to the August Comte Chair in Social Epistemology. In 2011, Fuller was appointed a fellow at the UK Academy of Social Sciences. It sounds exactly like what Norman Dodd talked about. You know, remember we just played an excerpt of that interview again yesterday, right? These academics were rounded up and sent to London for grooming. Anyway, I mean, just a brief excerpt from the pedestrian version of Steve Fuller's CV, if you will. Fuller attended Regis High School in Manhattan, admitted as a John Jay Scholar to Columbia University. He majored in history and sociology and graduated summa cum laude in 1979, awarded a Kellett Fellowship. He studied at Clare College, Cambridge, and received an MPhil in History and Philosophy of Science in 1981. He earned his PhD in the same subject from the University of Pittsburgh in 1985, where he was an Andrew Mellon predoctoral fellow. Fuller's doctoral dissertation, Bounded Rationality in Law and Science, explored the implications of the views of Herbert A. Simon for political theory and philosophy of science. I already read some of the rest, but, you know, these guys are, what has happened over the last several generations, essentially, is, you know, and so things that Steve Fuller has written, for example, Science versus Religion, ? In 2007, Fuller wrote Science versus Religion, Intelligent Design and the Problem of Evolution. Are they really in conflict? Everyone can be a Christian socialist. Why not? Sahotra Sarkar, a philosophy professor and integrative biologist at University of Texas, Austin, also criticized Fuller's book for presenting And, quote, analysis of the intellectual disputes over contemporary ID creationism that is almost vacuous. Sarkar further states that the book has an idiosyncratic interpretation of the history of philosophy, including Kant, and of logical positivism, having a limited grasp of the history of science, including making claims about Newton, Cuvier, Agassiz, Lamarck, Mendel, Pearson, and Galton, that are not supported by their writings, failure to engage the debate over naturalism that ID creationism has generated, end quote, with remarks on supernaturalism that show him to be equally non-cognizant of the work of Philip Johnson and other scientific errors. So it deals with the same kind of subject that the manipulators, the sophists, and the planners of your life. I mean, think about it. Again, I just think the way that Reagan said it in 1964 was as well as you can put it. You know, this is the issue. Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government, or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. But, you know, Peter Thiel says now these intellectual elite, they don't have to be centrally located in a far distant capital. They can be dispersed now. It's a diffuse network of intellectual elite. But, you know, think about these names. Kant, logical positivism, Newton, Cuvier, Agassiz, Lamarck, Mendel, Pearson, Galton. These are names of a specific flavor, and so we're wrangling over semantic dialectical nuance. Whatever your position you try to take, you're in the milieu. You are basically wrestling with the tar baby. That's the issue that I would submit. And so that's where we come to the point where there seems to be, you know, again, in the words of Renee Wormser specifically, when this, you see this coalescence of forces, there is virtually no counterforce to oppose them, borrowing Renee Wormser. So I don't know, I think it's astonishing that people are not concerned. Or, you know, not concerned to the extent that they realize this is a life-threatening enterprise. Because what you have to understand is the planners know what engenders responsibility and husbandry and stewardship and these kinds of things is individual responsibility, accountability, ownership. This is what the Bible talks about. And so this is kind of why I think of the spiritual aspect of this battle. You get people detached from their own accountability, their own responsibility. The Bible says we will all give account for ourselves. For example, it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Each will give account for himself. I don't think, you know, standing before God, anybody's going to say, well, see, what had happened was, it's just not going to work. So, to engender personal responsibility and accountability, you know, personal ownership is vital and essential versus, you know, if nobody owns anything, then there is, generally speaking, a a consequential lack of regard, lack of responsibility. We live in a limited liability society, you know, an LLC, corporation for Pete's sake. And this engenders a sort of, or emboldens a sort of lackadaisical attitude, whether conscious or, you know, unconscious. But the point is, for people to do that, you have to understand what the next step, I guess, in that mechanism would be. When you think, I guess, in terms of, you know, the wild and free pigs example of the Okefenokee Swamp. So, in that context, if, you know, you start thinking in terms of what someone like George Bernard Shaw would say. If you cannot live well, you would be forced to live well. Remember? I also made it clear that socialism means equality of income or nothing, and that under socialism you would not be allowed to be poor. You'd be forcibly fed, clothed, lodged, bought, and employed, whether you liked it or not. This is socialism. If it were discovered that you had not the character and industry enough to be worth all this trouble, you might possibly be executed in a kindly manner. But whilst you were permitted to live, by whom? Who decides? You would have to live well. It's this idea. It's this loathsome disdain for their fellow man that certain people hold. And you have to ask yourself, so you have all of this machinery, they understand that you can't control one part of society without controlling it all. That's in the Reese Committee hearings and testimony and documents as well. You have to control it all. You can't just plan. You can't just plan to control one aspect. One aspect of control, you know, it's like Stephen Covey says, you pick up the other end. So if you're going to control an aspect of society, you control it all. George Soros, you know, what was it, 2010, 12, somewhere around there, James Corbett was talking about how open societies, he had that interview where he talked about how the open society was advertising on Craigslist. But you know what, in Seattle it was $15 an hour, so hey, hashtag fight for 15. The planners are planning, and by the way, they're, you know, selling their own dog food, $15 an hour. You can make $15 an hour. If you can control that, then, you know, you're going to have to control, if you're going to control wages, you have to, there's price fixing involved, there's inflation adjusting involved. Every aspect of the economic system has to be regulated and controlled. And so then the logical, critical end of that thinking, then the point is, when you understand that, you understand that these people also have a loathsome disdain for what they call useless eaters. They fancy themselves the kings of the earth. Look what we have done. And, you know, these people, they're so ungrateful. They are so ungrateful, so bunch of ingrates walking around. We should just get rid of a bunch of them. Or, you know, I think at a minimum, you see, they shouldn't benefit from these wonderful advances in society that we benefit from. We should keep that stuff to ourselves, for ourselves, and leave the plebs to, you know, they don't appreciate that stuff anyway. Their tastes aren't as sophisticated. They're not sophisticated enough to appreciate it. And so what does that portend? And this is not some speculative thought. This is how they think. This is what they write. Again, George Bernard Shaw was just one of the loudest to be most honest and direct about it. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Yeah. Welcome back. We're headed into an awful time, America. History tells us we're on the brink. You know, this next 4 to 8 years or whatever is it's going to be perilous, I think. We're right there at the nexus of this administration of public policy, technocratic, communitarian agenda. And, you know, folks like Peter Thiel, presidential advisor, Bilderberg steering committee group member, who think that things have just been going too slow. Government is a mess, and technological innovation has not been moving rapidly enough. While you and I are saying, whoa, hold on a second. Not so fast. This is a little crazy here. I think we're just about to, you know, dive off of the slippery slope of dystopian technotronic innovation and development. Guys like Peter Thiel are saying, oh, well, you know, we can't get there fast enough. So there is about to be a welding together of these things, and guys like him think that we should be plunging forward headlong at breakneck speed. Really just kind of like that. I mean, he would say perhaps that there are some concerns, there are some considerations, but not really. To me, that's window dressing and lip service. And so the pressure of control, not just planning, but control. Planning that has been in the works for more than a century will result in control that is overwhelming. It's already pervasive. It's already intrusive. It's already creepy and weird. The way that technology has been leaning in a very unaccountable, very elusive sort of way. And again, the big difference, I think, one of the big contrasts the Rees Committee made was this idea of powers granted, but specifically, you know, enumerated the powers too, specifically outlined. Here are the powers granted to government. Versus this progressive era, technocratic, communitarian sort of agenda of just planning in secret, sort of changing things in secret on the fly, testing and measuring, and, you know, in cybernetic, infinite feedback loop response kind of fashion, and changing things until you arrive at whatever desired effect. But who's deciding on all of these things? And why in secret? Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.